You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We are live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app on the Nothing But Net channel. We are live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Matt Peck. Jordan Malley is out today. I'm a writer of Bulls basketball at NBA at LockedOnBulls.com, as well as the host of the 312 on AM 1590 WCGO here in Chicago. You can follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at LockedOnBulls. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Just a reminder that we have our text and voicemail line open always, 24-7, 365, 331-979-1369. Again, that number is 331-979-1369 for all of your Bulls questions and comments. We'll be doing our mailbag episode again, per usual, on Wednesday. Well, as I said, Jordan is off today. I am your host, Matt Peck. Happy Labor Day to you, Bulls Nation. If you are a diehard Chicago sports fan across the board, it has been a great Labor Day weekend because we all learned on Saturday morning that the Bears landed top defensive player in the NFL, Khalil Mack. You should be absolutely checking out our guy, Lauren Cox, who does Locked On Bears. Get his take on this huge trade that the Bears made leading up to their week one game against the dreaded Green Bay Packers at Lambeau. I'm stoked. I'm already giddy with excitement about that season opener at Lambeau, Sunday Night Football. So definitely go check out Locked On Bears. Lauren Cox has everything you need there for the Khalil Mack trade and more, as the Bears are less than a week away from the start of their season. Also, shout out to Ryan Davis and Sean Sears of Locked On Cubs. They've been doing a great job cranking out daily episodes as the Cubs are making a big push, a successful August. They're holding a firm lead on the NL Central right now, making their way towards October baseball. So check out Locked On Cubs as well. Before we get started, another quick shout out to one of the friends of the pod, Wesley, who has a great Bulls Instagram account that you should be following. Be sure to check out at Chicago Bulls Central on Instagram for the best Bulls content on the app. You'll find daily Bulls updates, rumors, stats, anything else Bulls related. Once again, check out at Chicago Bulls Central on Instagram. Shout out to Wesley, who has been doing a great job helping us promote this Bobby Portis event that we have coming up this weekend. Speaking of, Bowling with Bobby Portis, hosted by us, Locked On Bulls, is coming up this Saturday, September 8th at King's Dining and Entertainment in Lincoln Park. Tickets available on sale right now. You can go to eventbrite.com and search Bowling with Bobby, or you could go to our Twitter page at Locked On Bulls. Pinned to the top of our Twitter account is a link to that Eventbrite site. Or if you're a Facebook user, you can go to our Locked On Bulls Facebook page. Again, that's facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Pinned to the top of our Facebook page is the event page, and you can buy tickets right through Facebook. We are very excited. Bobby did a radio spot over the weekend promoting the event. We gave out a couple of free tickets. everyone's getting really, really excited for this event. We hope to see all of our listeners there so we can get a chance to meet you guys, hang out with you guys, bowl some games, watch Jordan get crushed by Bobby. There's going to be food. There's a cash bar. All sorts of great fun. In addition to bowling, you know, they got billiards tables, they got shuffleboard, they got darts, they got foosball. It's going to be a great fun event. We'll be doing a live recording of a Locked On Bulls episode as well. So with all that, a little bit of Bulls news and some ex-Bulls news that we'll get to on today's show. We have the NBA 2K ratings that came out on Friday, I believe. So we'll go over that, whether or not the Bulls' projected starting five is fair or overvalued or undervalued, and a couple of other interesting ratings that I found across the league. We'll also touch on some internal promotions that the Bulls made in their front office and some rumors going around over the weekend that Tom Thibodeau, former Bulls coach, now head coach and president of basketball operations with the Minnesota Timberwolves, might be on his way to collecting a few more of his old Bulls pals. So all of that to get to. But let's start with these NBA 2K ratings. So we have, across the board, some interesting ratings for the Chicago Bulls. Nothing grossly out of the ordinary. I don't think anybody was very disrespected or overvalued, but here's a quick rundown of the Bulls' projected starting five, including Wendell Carter Jr. as opposed to Robin Lopez. Chris Dunn, a 78. Zach LaVine comes in at an 80 overall. Jabari Parker, 81. Lauri Markkanen, the highest rated among starting Bulls players at 82. And the rookie Wendell Carter Jr. with a respectable 77. So, of anything there, the first thing that raises an eyebrow to me is that Dunn might be a little disrespected at just a 78. Looking at some of the other young guards across the league, I mean, Trae Young coming in as a rookie is 77. And I know everybody's hyped and thinks that he's the second coming of Steph Curry. I don't buy that. I think for Chris Dunn to only be 1 point ranked higher than Trae Young right now, especially considering the vastly superior elements to Dunn's defensive game compared to Trae Young, I think that that is insulting. So whether you want to say that that's Dunn being undervalued or Trae Young being overvalued, I think that's crazy. Buddy Hield, a 79 overall. How is Buddy Hield ranked higher than Chris Dunn? I just don't buy that. Some other notable rookies, Mo Bamba, also a 77. So you compare that to Wendell Carter Jr., also a 77. I think that's kind of fair. Marvin Bagley of Duke, Wendell's former Duke teammate, and now with the Sacramento Kings, a point higher at 78. Also at 78 is Michigan State's Jaren Jackson Jr., now with the Memphis Grizzlies. So all of those bigs from the 2018 draft, kind of around the same area in the upper mid to high 70s. Nothing really egregious there. I think Wendell Carter impressed a lot of people in summer league, and a 77 is a low rating in as far as NBA 2K ratings go, but the fact that he's already there coming into his rookie year, I think by the time we get to the end of this season, assuming that Wendell has taken over the starting role coming into NBA 2K20, you're going to see Wendell make a big leap there as far as his overall ranking. Markkanen being the highest of the Bulls starting five at 82, I think is right around where it should be. Comparatively, some of the other, you know, interesting comparisons I noted when looking at ratings across the league, Harrison Barnes is an 82. So again, that's the, you know, whether you call that undervaluing Markkanen or overvaluing Harrison Barnes, I think in his second coming into his second season, Markkanen is already a more versatile and talented player than Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes was a guy who was a key piece of the initial Warriors championship team, and then since leaving that team has proved himself to be not as valuable of a guy as the contract that he was signed to. He was just a great fit in that Warriors system. I don't think him being on the same level as Markkanen doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Other things that are notable, Jordan's out today, but if he were here, I would make fun of his incessant comparison between Zach LaVine and Devin Booker, thinking that LaVine is just as valuable as Devin Booker. Well, Zach LaVine's an 80 in these 2K19 ratings, and Devin Booker is an 87. So take that for what it's worth. I wouldn't disagree with that. I think LaVine being at a flat 80 is pretty much right around where he should be. If anything, and don't get mad at me here, if anything, I think that's a little high based on what we saw from LaVine and the fact that we have a lot of questions outstanding when it comes to how valuable he can be to a team with his offensive contributions versus his defensive limitations and detriment. Jabari at an 81, yeah, okay. The guy's got two ACL tears, and you know, obviously the concern about fit here is not going into the calculations for his individual player value for 2K19. He's a gifted offensive player, and I think 81 is about right. Other notables, Carmelo Anthony dropped all the way down to 79. I'm not sure what his NBA 2K18 value was, but there's no way it was that low. So that just goes to show you that Carmelo Anthony at 79 is barely a higher ranking than Wendell Carter Jr., barely higher than Chris Dunn, lower than LaVine, Parker, and Markkanen. How the mighty have fallen in Melo's case. And one that I just have to say, come on, guys, how dare you disrespect Taj Gibson, an overall rating of 76. 76! Taj Gibson, a valued veteran, was, you know, no surprise, playing for Tom Thibodeau, one of the league leaders in minutes per game last season, a great defensive player who has added versatility to the offensive end of his game. I think Taj Gibson, just scanning through the ratings for all team starting fives at 76, might be one of the most disrespectful ratings that I saw. We got to take our first break here on Locked On Bulls. Before we do that, a quick heads up to all you fantasy football players. It is crunch time for fantasy football, and Locked On is delivering. Locked On has a brand new fantasy football show, Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. Fantasy Football 24/7 gives you the latest trends, hot roster moves, and where to get the advantages. Plus, Ethan Turner, the injury expert, gives you the edge. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 is here to help you win your league. Getting down to crunch time for those fantasy football drafts. Probably a few more going on today and tomorrow. First NFL game of the season. Falcons and Eagles on Thursday night. Quick break here on Locked On Bulls. We'll be right back after this message. Welcome back to Locked On Bulls. Matt Peck holding down the fort as Jordan Malley is off today. And before we pick it back up with our next topic, just wanted to give a quick shout out to King's Dining and Entertainment. 1500 North Clybourne Avenue in the heart of Lincoln Park on the north side of Chicago. It is our Bowling with Bobby headquarters. It should be your football headquarters all season long. They have a 222-foot bar, the longest bar in the city of Chicago. That is right, the longest bar in the city of Chicago. Not to mention a full-service restaurant. Over 50 HD TVs, 16 pristine 10-pin bowling lanes, 4 billiards tables, air hockey, darts, and more. Once again, that's King's Dining and Entertainment, 1500 North Clybourne in Lincoln Park. Really excited to be there this Saturday for our Bowling with Bobby Portis event. All right, with that, the Bulls made some announcements over the weekend. They have made many internal promotions to their front office. Let's see. Let's go down the list. Brian Hagan, who has been with the team for the last 6 seasons, moves from his previous job as assistant general manager to associate general manager. He also currently serves as the GM of the Windy City Bulls, the Bulls G League affiliate. Steve Weinman is entering his 7th season as a member of this Bulls front office team. He's been promoted from manager of basketball operations and analytics to assistant general manager. He adds pro scouting and draft personnel duties to his management of the salary cap and analytics. Jim Paxson, yep, of the Paxson family, previously the team's director of basketball operations, is now director of pro personnel. Paxson, the older brother of executive VP John and the general manager who drafted LeBron James for the Cavaliers, has been with the Bulls for 12 seasons. Also, Miles Abbott, who had been the basketball operations coordinator, is now the manager of minor league scouting and analytics. He will focus mostly on the G League and international leagues. That is a report from Casey Johnson, who covers the Bulls for the Chicago Tribune. Shout out to Casey, friend of the pod. So no earth-shattering news here with these promotions. And if you're to take anything away from this as a Bulls fan, it is that, well, if you're one of those hashtag FireGar Paxers out there, and this was a headline that read Bulls, you know, make changes to their front office, it's not what you were hoping for. Gar Forman is still here and still employed. They just promoted people underneath him to various other positions, shifting around assistant GM, associate GM, and people in their scouting and basketball operations positions. So basically, Paxson and Forman are still entrenched in their roles, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. Some Bulls fans might look at the promotion given to Jim Paxson, John's older brother, and take that with a snarky grain of salt. You know, nepotism, this Bulls front office, come on, like, why the heck is Jim Paxson doing this job? He only has this job because he's John Paxson's brother and the Reinsdorfs love the Paxson fan. Maybe, whatever, fine. If the guy does a good job, then I don't have a problem with it. So he's the Jim Paxson is now the team's director of pro personnel. Abbott is the one handling minor league scouting and analytics. Hopefully he proves worthy of that job. I think that's one of the major complaints that a large portion of this Bulls fan base has, is the lack of thorough scouting that this team does, whether it's giving away second-round draft picks because they don't see value there, not having anyone on their draft board in the second round 2 years ago when they let the Warriors buy that pick that landed them Jordan Bell. Whatever the case may be, I think a lot of fans lack faith in their scouting ability. At the same time, I can turn around and tell you that it looks like they made a solid choice with Wendell Carter Jr. They definitely made a solid choice with Lauri Markkanen. Some Bulls fans say, well, they didn't even scout Lauri Markkanen. Well, they certainly didn't think that they were going to be in a position to draft Markkanen, because before the Butler trade, they were picking 16th, not 7th. But that doesn't mean that they completely ignored Markkanen and knew nothing about him when they drafted him. Jimmy Butler at 30, I'd say that's some pretty darn good scouting. Bobby Portis at 22, yeah, solid. Taj Gibson in the 20s. Luol Deng, Ben Gordon. Yes, there are misses, but you can see plenty of hits in the John Paxson era when it comes to this team and their scouting and hitting on their draft picks. More hits than misses. I know it's not a popular opinion, but it is not an opinion. It is fact. More hits than misses. Basically, the biggest takeaway to me here with the shakeup of these front office rules is that every single one of these was a promotion from within. Internal hiring and internal promoting, not going outside of their organization to bring in guys who are maybe up-and-comers on other teams, people that held positions in basketball operations, coordination, player development, pro personnel, all those kinds of realms of front office jobs. There is a larger pool to pick from, but what it tells me is that the Bulls have faith in the people that are already in the organization working those jobs and getting promoted to bigger and better jobs. Now, I'm not saying I necessarily agree with that. I'm just saying it's probably the most noteworthy thing from this report, from the team's announcement that they have made these job changes and promotions. Nobody on this list of people that changed jobs and got promotions was hired from outside the organization. They are all internal promotions. That's worth noting. Maybe it means that this team doesn't see a need in looking elsewhere, doesn't see a need in searching some of those other pools of candidates and potential employers, or potential employees, I should say. Maybe it's going into that, maybe it feeds into that narrative that this front office and this ownership group are lazy when it comes to doing due diligence across the board and getting the best people to work for their organization, the best people to scout talent for their basketball team, the best people to run things like day-to-day basketball operations, run things like scouting free agent talent and working with and recruiting free agent talent. I think it's fair to at least be skeptical that not a single outside hire was made here. But it's not surprising because that's how we have come to know that this Bulls front office operates. It is right in line with what we've become accustomed to. Outside hires? Nah. I mean, you want to call Doug Collins an outside hire? Because at the time when they hired him to be, you know, special advisor to John Paxson, he wasn't currently already working for the organization? Yeah, fine. You can call that an outside hire if you want to, but we all know that that wasn't really an outside hire. Fred Hoiberg wasn't an outside hire. Let's be real. The Ames-Iowa connection, Gar's guy, they had their fingers pointed at Hoiberg before Tom Thibodeau was even out the door. Technically, outside hire, but not really. So I think that maybe Bulls fans who saw this report about these promotions and job hirings just kind of rolled their eyes. I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit too, just because it's so predictable. Then again, I mean, most companies want to promote from within. Outside hires are made if necessary. What you want is to have the right people in your building already that prove to you that they are ready to take on bigger and greater responsibilities for your organization, to make your organization successful. That's clearly how the Bulls saw this as they made this announcement on Friday. I don't necessarily agree with it, but as I said, not all that surprising. We'll see if we hear any more developments as far as what these individuals in these new roles can do for this team as they enter the second year of their rebuild. But for right now, it's just sort of a shoulder shrug, right? A roll of the eyes and a shoulder shrug. Same old Bulls. Promoting from within with a dash of nepotism. We got to take another break here on Locked On Bulls. When we come back, we'll be talking about some former Bulls and the aforementioned Tom Thibodeau with some news that broke over the weekend. Stay right here on Locked On Bulls. We'll be right back. Welcome back into Locked On Bulls. I'm your host, Matt Peck, holding down the fort while Jordan Malley is out today. And before we get to our final segment for the day, just wanted to give y'all an update on the expansion of our Locked On Podcast Network. The Locked On Network is expanding with college shows. Coming this week, we have Locked On Wolverines, Locked On Buckeyes, Locked On Seminoles. Plus, we are already locked onto the Ducks, the Nittany Lions, the Bears, the Crimson Tide, the Wildcats, the Razorbacks, Volunteers, and Cougars. Find your favorite college show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Big first week of college football in the books. Those Michigan Wolverines couldn't get it done against Notre Dame. So if you are a college football fan, make sure you are looking for your college team's Locked On show. That element of our Locked On network is expanding every single week. With that, let us get to our final topic of the day, which is the news over the weekend that the Los Angeles Lakers have waived and stretched the remaining contract of former Bull Luol Deng. Considered to be one of the worst contract signings in that explosion of big contracts in the summer of 2016, Luol Deng was healthy this past season but did not play for the Los Angeles Lakers because simply he just didn't factor into the team's future plans. Now you have LeBron James coming to town and all of the other additions that this Lakers team made in the offseason, and there's no room for Deng. And they wanted to save themselves some money for the free agency summer of 2019, when, who knows, maybe Kawhi wants to come, maybe Jimmy isn't happy in Minnesota and wants to go play with LeBron in L.A., and the Lakers save themselves, I don't know, somewhere around, like, I think $15 million by getting rid of Luol Deng. So now they have the cap space, or will have, I should say, the cap space in 2019 to offer a max-level contract to a big-name free agent. So with that, of course, Bulls Twitter, Timberwolves Twitter, Timber Bulls Twitter exploded with the hypotheticals and projections of, well, clearly Tom Thibodeau is going to go get his old guy Luol Deng, right? His trusty workhorse, the guy who was the glue guy for the Chicago Bulls teams of the early 2010s, the guy who, next to Derrick Rose, was probably the team's most reliable scorer on most nights, and the defender that held this team together and was one of the big reasons for this team being one of the best defensive teams in that Tom Thibodeau era. And, well, we might not be crazy, and it might be more than just silly gossip and speculation among Bulls fans and Timberwolves fans. John Krasinski, no, not the actor, the reporter who covers the Minnesota Timberwolves for The Athletic, reported over the weekend that this is still in play, quoting the article relating to Deng being let go by the Lakers. Here is John Krasinski. Reported earlier in this summer that the Wolves would have interest in Deng and or Noah should they become available. That hasn't changed. So, not only might the Timberwolves be interested in the services of one Luol Deng, who again, healthy, just aging and not in the Lakers' plans, which is why he didn't play last season, and his former teammate, former Tom Thibodeau pupil, former Defensive Player of the Year, Joakim Noah, who is not in the New York Knicks' long-term plans, and Noah and the Knicks are expected to part ways shortly. Their new coach, not interested in keeping Noah on board. So, could we see the Timberwolves go after and reclaim for Tom Thibodeau both Luol Deng and Joakim Noah? Because guess what? He got Jimmy Butler to Minnesota in that trade with Chicago. He picked Derrick Rose up from some random community college in Cleveland after the Cavs overhauled the entirety of their roster, save LeBron James and a few others. And Derrick Rose was found without an NBA team. He also made it a priority to bring his other workhorse, Taj Gibson, to Minnesota, a guy who was one of the league leaders in minutes last season. Saved the Timberwolves season with a key defensive play in their final win or go home regular season game against the Denver Nuggets. Yeah, that Taj Gibson. Dunked over D. Wade in the conference finals. Yeah, that Taj Gibson. Could Deng and Noah really be heading to Minnesota to reunite with Taj, with Jimmy, with D. Rose, and with Tibbs? The possibility of this happening just cracks me up. The quasi-Timberbulls would be the fully-fledged Timberbulls. I just don't see it in realistic terms. I hope that Joakim Noah has some better ending than what we've seen from him with his tenure with the Knicks. And all summer long on Instagram and on Twitter, you see Joakim Noah has been working his behind off. Guy looks like he's in great shape, and he is clearly not okay with this being it for his NBA career. He wants to prove that he still has something. Deng, you can say the same thing. He believed that he could still play. Casey Johnson did a piece on Deng when the Bulls were playing the Lakers at one point last season, and Deng was talking about how tough it is to sit when healthy. He feels like he still, he's 33 years old going on 34. He still feels like he has something to give. And I believe it. Luol Deng is a crafty veteran, and he might not be as explosive athletically as he was in his youth, but that was never really the peak of Deng's game. He's a smart player, he's a great defender, and he can get you buckets. Even still, is signing an aging Deng really high on Thibodeau's priority list? Does he still see him as that glue guy for his defense? Does he still see Joakim Noah as the anchor of his defense? And what kind of minutes is Joakim Noah going to get when what you're trying to really do is develop Karl-Anthony Towns? Maybe I can see Noah being the veteran leader that Karl-Anthony Towns needs right now. Because while these rumors about Deng and Noah reuniting with Tibbs are going around, there's also this rumor that Jimmy Butler and Karl-Anthony Towns are butting heads. That Jimmy Butler is not seeing what he needs to see from the young guys in Minnesota, like Towns, like Andrew Wiggins, when it comes to their work ethic, when it comes to their commitment on the defensive end. And that is the reason for the poor relationship between Butler and those young guys right now. Sound familiar, Bulls fans? We saw that blow up in the faces of everyone involved when D. Wade and Jimmy Butler called out their young teammates in Chicago for the same things. So, to me, at least from the perspective of, would Noah come and play for Tibbs in Minnesota? Would Noah be the guy who can mentor Karl-Anthony Towns? That makes sense. Whatever Joakim has left to give on the court, maybe he can be a solid big for your bench and the vocal leader, the veteran leader in the locker room, and a guy to tutor Karl-Anthony Towns, especially defensively. The problem is that Jimmy is trying to take that leadership role in Minnesota and not having success. And guess what? Let's not forget that Jimmy Butler and Joakim Noah are not good pals. One of the biggest reasons for the collapse of the Bulls in the 2015-16 season, first year under Fred Hoiberg, the last year of the Rose-Noah-Butler gang, is not that, as was widely reported across national media, that Rose and Butler were at odds in the locker room and on the court and had problems getting along. No, it was Joakim and Jimmy. Joakim and Jimmy, not Derek and Jimmy. Joakim had serious issues with the seizure of power that Jimmy was trying to execute as he was becoming a bigger star and the stardom of Rose and Joakim was fading. Joakim, remember, had that shoulder injury that put him down for the rest of the season. Derrick Rose was in and out of the lineup again with various nagging injuries, and Jimmy Butler played the role of savior and new fan favorite. And Jimmy started to carry a lot of that swag with him in the locker room, and he started to separate himself. And Joakim, ever the team first guy, ever the workhorse, not that Jimmy wasn't a workhorse in his own right, but what's one of the most famous sound bites we have from Joakim Noah? Calling the Miami Heat Hollywood as hell. Jimmy turned Hollywood as hell, and Joakim didn't like it, couldn't stand it. From what we know, they never actually got physical. But from what we know and what we've heard, it came pretty darn close on multiple occasions. That's how much the Joakim and Jimmy didn't get along at the end of their time together in Chicago. You tell me that Tibbs is either unaware of that somehow, or even if he is aware of that, ready to just brush it under the rug and assume it wouldn't have any negative effect on his locker room? Nah. I'm not buying that. So to me, maybe Luol Deng does have something left to give in his as he, you know, reaches his mid-30s and would also be a great veteran for your bench and for your locker room. I can see that. But as much as I'd like to see Joakim reunite with Derek, his poo, his buddy, the guy he vouched for all day, every day, every day of the season in Chicago, and reunite with his pal Tibbs, who he credited as those Bulls being one of the best defensive teams in the league, who he credited for his defensive player of the year season. Be awesome to see Joakim come back and have a meaningful role on an NBA team as a bench player and as a mentor for one of the best exciting bigs in the league in Karl-Anthony Towns. Would love to see that storyline play out, but I don't think it's happening because Jimmy. Maybe if Jimmy plays this final season of his contract with Minnesota and they are once again a one-and-done playoff team, if that, and he decides, heck, this is, you know, this is not working. Go round two with Tibbs and the gang, not working. I've got options. Maybe because the Lakers just stretched my ex-teammate Luol Deng, they can pay me to go play with LeBron. That seems like a pretty shinier alternative, right? Hollywood as hell, Jimmy Butler going to play with LeBron in La La Land. Seems like a better alternative than re-signing for Tibbs yelling at you in Minnesota, of all places. Doesn't have quite the allure of Los Angeles, Southern California, teammate LeBron James, championship contention. So in that sense, if Jimmy leaves after this season, or if the Timberwolves are kind of feeling like Jimmy's going to leave. Maybe they try to trade him, whatever, whatever. But until Jimmy Butler is no longer on that roster, I don't see Joakim going to Minnesota. Just doesn't make sense. Can't wait to find out, though. How crazy would it be if Tibbs signs Deng and Joakim and the whole crew is reunited? Well, that's it for today's episode. Thank you all for tuning in. Just a reminder that text and voicemail line 331-979-1369. We got a lot of text and voicemails over the weekend. We'll get to those and anything else you have. Send it to us today, tomorrow. We'll do our mailbag per usual on Wednesday's episode. Again, check out Locked On Bears for their coverage of the Khalil Mack trade. Check out Locked On Cubs for their great continuing coverage as the Cubs get closer and closer to clinching that NL Central Division title. And absolutely 100%, if you haven't already, go do it right now. Buy your tickets for this Bowling with Bobby Portis event hosted by us, Locked On Bulls, at Kings Dining and Entertainment this Saturday, September 8th from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Go to eventbrite.com and search Bowling with Bobby. Go to our Locked On Bulls Twitter page at Locked On Bulls. It is pinned to the top of our page. Links to the tickets right there. Or if you are a Facebook user, head on over to facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. The event page is pinned to the top of our Locked On Bulls Facebook page. You can buy tickets right there through Facebook. VIP and general admission tickets available. Get them now. Get them while you can. For my absentee partner, Jordan Malley, who will be back tomorrow, this is Matt Peck saying thank you for listening, Bulls Nation. Have a great Labor Day. Enjoy the rest of your long 3-day weekend, and we will talk to you tomorrow. We're out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.